Previously on the Side Hustle Show.
I don't want to trade my time for money, what it comes down to. I want to be balling. I want to be on a beach somewhere. Like, of course. I find myself, I get caught up in the minutia of just every little thing. That's just, I'm an engineer, so that's just what I do. And it makes me feel like I'm doing something, but I'm not really getting anywhere. I'm running in quicksand.
You're turning out to be a more demanding client than he anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks for him, but I'm paying him good money. What I've done is, I there's a couple of tactics that I've done. One, I'm holding the money. I'm not releasing anything else until I'm happy with him having made the changes to the app, the original version of the app that I gave back to him. He was the lowest guy on Elance, and it's the guy that I like the most, but unfortunately, he was the lowest price, and sometimes you get what you pay for. I use my app every freaking day. Like, I'm such a nerd. And it's not even like, oh, it's my app. Let me go to it and just mess around with it. When I go to look something up, or like I've been helping other friends book trips, I'll literally go to my app and look stuff up. And it's just been like, it's been awesome and convenient. So I just want to be that awesome and convenient for everybody else that gets to download it.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. We're up to episode 109, and this is the latest edition of my public coaching experiment. In this call, we're catching up with Wellington, as you heard in the intro. So where we left off with Wellington was he was going back and forth with his developer on some last-minute bug fixes for his travel hacking app before it was ready to submit to the App Store. Since we spoke, he's sent it off to Apple 3 different times for approval and been rejected 3 different times. You'll hear the frustration in his voice and in mine as the months of effort and the thousands of dollars in investment just keep getting denied by some third-party gatekeeper without a lot of specific actionable advice in terms of here's what you need to fix, here's why we rejected it, here's what's need to happen. Instead, it's kind of a more vague. There are bug fixes. We found bugs, you know, while we were testing. It's like, oh my goodness. And on top of that, he is still working crazy hours. And on top of that, has broken a bone in his foot. So he's hobbling around on crutches, trying to get all this stuff done, and has literally added injury on top of all this other stuff. So let's follow along. If you're interested in following along with this journey, you can catch all the back episodes that we've done so far at sidehustlenation.com/PC. It's PC for public coaching, all the episodes with Wellington and with Catherine as well. And if you'd like to work directly with me, you can do so at sidehustlenation.com/services. In this call, we're going to get into wins since we last spoke, which are a little bit slim pickings, but we do uncover a couple of those. The accountability portion towards the goals he said he was going to get done last time. Some listener feedback. So if you have feedback for Wellington, be sure to leave that at sidehustlenation.com/109. That'll be the episode notes for this call. Talk about what challenges there are going forward, maybe next steps, what happens if this thing never gets approved, and goals for next time. And with that, let's get into it. So did anything good happen?
I've got nothing. Well, it's not that I've got nothing. I went to the day that I broke my foot, or I broke the bone in my foot, I was scheduled to go to that Miles meetup that I had talked to you about, which was going to put me in contact with, you know, a number of people that are interested in the hobby. And there were a lot of people there that had their own websites. So I'll consider a win in that, it put a lot of things in perspective for me. It felt like everybody had a website. So I was like, okay, how do I differentiate myself? And it started making me want to niche back down, where, like I said, I was niching up. I just wanted to make myself a little bit more specific, to offer something a little bit more just from me, I guess, you know, more in tune to my personality and what I feel like I can provide to the public.
Right, exactly. Such a crowded space. How can you, like you said, how can you differentiate?
Right.
And I thought the engineer's angle was an interesting one, because there's a lot of engineers, and this stuff definitely appeals to me, even though I am not one. But like, you know, there's a system I feel like I could put in place, and if there was, you know, a tool that would let me do that, I think that would appeal to a lot of people.
Right. What I found myself, I had always thought about, like, I use a couple of Excel sheets to track what I'm doing, and I had seen like a number of websites, not in this field, but that successfully use, I guess, Google Forms and stuff like that, spreadsheets, to be able to help calculate, you know, things out, values, whatever. But I was nervous in the sense that, you know, who in their right mind is just, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit crazy when I go through these things, but who in their right mind of the general public is going to want to get that specific and really drill down into the nuts and bolts? But, you know, I was in a room full of people that are like that. So there's got to be a crowd for it. And there's got to be, outside of that room that I was in, there's got to be other people that want to partake in that type of stuff.
So you were able to go to the meetup. This was before going to the ER?
It was literally, it was just before 5 o'clock. The meetup was at 6. That's when I injured my foot, and I was like, holy crap, what do I do? I went ahead and I took a cab over. I toughed it out. I literally hopped into the bar, went up to the room.
Jeez.
So like, my intent was to show off the app, but like, I never even got to it. I was just in so much pain, just talking to people, just standing around talking to people. There was no chairs. I talked as much as I could. It probably lasted for a good half hour to an hour. And then I had to leave. It was just way too much pain.
Man, I'm sorry.
No, sucks. It's all right. It's just funny because, you know, I was thinking about it earlier, and it's, you know, if you're driving like from here to California West Coast, where you are, it's not going to be green lights all the way. There's going to be a couple of stop signs, a couple of detours. So I gotta make it through these detours now so that I could get to my end result.
Is this a monthly thing that this meetup happens?
I believe it's a monthly thing. I tried to go to one last year, and it didn't work out. So like, this year I went. I'm glad I went to this one. There was a lot of good people there. And okay. Hopefully, you know, for the next one, I signed up for the meetup. Cool. Hopefully next month I'll be able to do a little bit more talking. They'll be able to see my website, and hopefully they'll be able to see my app.
Yeah, we can do a little demo of it. I think that would be good.
Yeah.
So not a lot going on the wins for a very frustrating month. I know we've kind of been emailing back and forth about the app approval process and all that stuff. So I kind of want to move into the, you know, we'll talk about some of those challenges down the road. I want to talk real quick on the accountability front. Goals from last time, I had finish the one thing book.
Yep, done.
Done, okay. Reviewing the latest app build, we'll get to that. Launching the website, this was the getawaygeek.com website?
I have content for it. There's something there now. It's basically like, I forget the name of the, it's called Maintenance Mode, the WordPress plugin, but it's, you know, it just shows the Getaway Geek logo, and then it's got a notify me when it's ready, and it's okay. Got a, you can input your email. But I kind of boxed myself in where a lot of the website relies on the app. So until the app is ready, I can't launch the website, but I have a ton of content ready to go.
Okay. And then further research on the home renovation side.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done a lot of research, a lot of niching down as to what I want to do. We emailed back and forth about it. I could get into it now if you want.
Let's touch on that a minute. Tell me what's going on with the app. This has now been rejected by Apple three different times?
Three separate times. First time was 7 days. The second two times was 9 days. So I'm 25 days into rejections.
Oh my gosh. This is just like so frustrating. They tell you what the problem is?
They really don't. They say, the last time around, they just said, you have a couple of bugs you have to fix. There's bugs with both Wi-Fi and cellular data. It doesn't really say anything aside from that, though. So it's, you know, I'm kind of relying on my developer to figure out what exactly is wrong and hopefully get it fixed to make it work.
Okay. Yeah. That's really frustrating. And especially that they're so vague. It's just like, could you tell me what screen you saw this on? Could you give me a hint?
During our last go around, which was this past weekend, he just literally says to me, why don't we just take out the upgrade? I think that's a lot of your problem. But I turned to the guy and I said, hey, you know, this was part of the original scope of work as far as, you know, what I put up on Elance. If you can't do it, I'm going to want all my money back. I'll give you back your code and I'll figure something else out. So, you know, that kind of woke him up a little bit in the sense that, you know, I'm not afraid to it's not litigation.
Yeah.
Say, hey, this guy, you know, promised me something and he couldn't get it done. He got me halfway there, but I needed it all the way.
Yeah. And now you're kind of needle in a haystack to try and figure out what the specific bug is that they're after.
Right. Right. Which is not his fault. I felt bad having to go through all that with him, but I wish that the iOS store, Apple store approval process was a little more clear.
Yeah, I think this is a really good, inside look at the approval process. Like, you know, developing apps is kind of a sexy side hustle. Like, and it's, you know, this is a passive income thing. It's a digital asset that can sit out there and earn money for you. But there's a lot of work that goes into it, and it's maybe not as easy as just throwing something up there and getting it approved. As we're learning, there's a lot that goes into that in time, both time and investment. I did want to share some of the user or some of the listener feedback that may be pertinent for you at this point. So Tony says the website usertesting.com is an awesome resource, and they offer 3 free tests a month at peak.usertesting.com. So I don't know if there's a web version of this thing that might be submittable to this user testing service to see if you can get some feedback, since nobody was able to test it out at the little meetup.
That's actually a pretty good idea. I'm going to check that out.
David offers his words of encouragement and support. He says, you guys are talking about freelancers on Elance who are trying to rush to get the money when it's not complete, when the job isn't done. And he says he's definitely experienced that. And he says, stay strong, fire him, and move on if you have to.
I would love to, but he kind of has me in a vice grip right now.
Jose, did I pass along Jose's information? Jose says, I also work in New York City construction management and would love to connect with Wellington. I have some ideas similar to the project mentioned on the podcast. Did I forward you his information?
If you did, I didn't see it. But
all right, remind me afterwards. I better pass that. I better pass that along.
Sure,
could be a good contact to have. And then my friend Doug says, Hey, finish reading The One Thing, and he kind of cautions against pursuing the SaaS idea before the app is complete. He says, hey, you know, let's focus on one project at a time. Let's ship one thing at a time before, you know, pursuing these other paths. And I can see his point of view, but at the same time, if you've got 9 days while you're waiting for this thing to be reviewed again, you know, that's time you could spend on something else. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Yes, I've spent my times waiting, just kind of working on the website, just trying to really fine-tune it so that by the time I'm ready to go with the app, I'm ready to go with the website as well. There is value with what he's saying, though, because I've become a little scattershot between my work and then a potential SaaS idea, and then also trying to get the Getaway Geek out there.
What happens if it never gets approved? How many rejections, like how many times are you allowed to appeal the thing?
I think you just keep submitting it as many times as you want. There's no counter or you know, rejection counter that I've seen.
What's your tolerance to keep going back to the developer? He's got to be kind of at the end of his line on this thing too.
I am okay, you know, dying from 1,000 paper cuts. I don't mind it. I want to get the thing approved. I think that this is my last chance with them. I'm going to go after this. If this doesn't work, I'm going to have to go through Elance to recover some money and probably take it to another developer. Or if not, I'll go through my brother, see if he can help me clean the thing up and get it approved.
Yeah, that's a tough spot to be in. Now you got all this kind of sunk cost into it, and it's hard to say what the underlying issue is.
I guess, like we had said before, you get what you paid for. He was the lowest guy on Elance.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a challenge.
The final milestone was to, I guess, have the app approved and to give me the source code. He gave me the source code and was looking for the money, you know, right away. But I said, I'm not doing it until the app gets approved, which I guess, you know, has been helpful to hold a couple $100.
Yeah, that was smart on your part, because I could definitely be like, oh, it'll be approved. No problem. No worries.
Yeah.
Here you go. Go your separate ways. And then you'd probably never hear from him again.
Yeah, I guess lesson learned. When I go to do something like this again, just backload it a little more and, the final approval, make it a much more hefty amount.
Yeah, it could be, first milestone, or, 10% deposit, first milestone, another 10%, second milestone, and then, 50% on approval.
Right. With all these rejections and like holding off on the website, I feel like I don't have anything for you.
Well, let's talk about where do you want to go with this? Like, what's your, like, I don't want it to become like, 3 months later, we're still, waiting on the app store.
Right. I don't know. I almost want to ask you the same question. Where do I even turn at this point? If it doesn't work out this time, I got to pull it away from him. It's got to go to somebody else. And
tell me about the web and turning it into just an online tool, online app, online service. It's just like, I want you to have something to show for this, something, that's publicly usable and something that doesn't rely on the whims of the App Store, that doesn't rely on the whims of Apple. Like, could there be could you take the app functionality and put it, on a web form or something like that people could use, create an account. I don't know how it works, and build an online tool and kind of have a similar upgrade function there where it's like, look, I don't have to wait for anybody's approval to put up this website. Here's just what it does.
Well, it goes back to what, you've mentioned before and with Pat Flynn, if Google goes down, then like a lot of people's businesses, with SEO and AdWords and stuff, that it'll go down with it. So maybe this is a good way of thinking to try and future-proof yourself in case something were to happen or if Google were to change their algorithms.
So is that an argument for or against building the website?
It's an argument for.
Okay.
In a sense, trying to just get away from Apple and having them have to approve everything I do.
Right. Yeah. It's a frustrating position to be in, and I can hear it in your voice. So, I don't know what it would take to get that functionality up, or what that would look like in terms of time or investment. But maybe something to think about.
Well, I over this time I had met up with some of my friends that are similarly thinking of starting their side hustles, and one of them is this girl Mandy. She's been working on a large scale like a database. We all met through our job at in the construction company. So she had seen a couple of flaws with the way that we had done business and the way we worked. She's working currently on developing a web tool for I guess our company and to be able to license it out to other companies. But she's very educated as far as web development, and we have, between myself, her and my other friend Johnny, we're kind of formed a small mastermind group. So she's been the person I've been bouncing off ideas off of as far as like the web development and how I can implement tools. So that's the route I'd like to take.
Hey, when I was asking for wins, I'd say forming a mastermind group. Sounds like a win to me.
I'm sorry.
No, that sounds great. It's been helpful so far.
It's been helpful. We've been very, I feel bad because I got there and I said, my assignment at the end of it was to, get my app approved, but I haven't been able to get that done. But it's been very, very good as far as we're all very different people in the sense that our skills can very, very much complement each other. So like I just mentioned, she's experienced with web development. She'll be able to, she could help me out as far as getting something like what we were just talking about off of the ground.
Okay, cool. Very cool. So that's what's going on the app front. I think the opportunity to at least take some of the functionality, put it online, is going to be a way to validate the process. You know, if and this is kind of a hedge, like if you end up not getting approved by Apple, at least here's a way to get it in front of some people, see if people like it, see if people use it, see if people are willing to pay for it. Most importantly, see how we can generate some revenue from it without relying on Apple, without relying on a third party to get that done. Now, in the second half of this call, we're diving into Wellington's other side hustle idea, which, if you remember, was a SaaS business, software as a service business, targeting renovation contractors. And there's a lot of interesting stuff going on in this business. And you'll hear that there's been some talk about pivoting and doing all this stuff, but really we're still kind of in the idea validation or idea generation phase to see what's going to happen next over there. Stay tuned. You want to talk about the SaaS business?
Yeah. Similar to what I was saying before about niching down, you know, I felt that I kind of let the idea get away from me, and that, you know, I was talking to contractors, and really what my original idea was more so on a home based as an end user for people that buy houses and want to make renovations to it. So, you know, everybody buys a house, but I had stumbled upon the podcast Bigger Pockets and their website, and I, you know, listening to the podcast and reading all their stuff, they have a number of tools set up, you know, to be able to calculate if you're going to make money on a flip or if you're going to make money on a rental income. But they didn't have anything related to, you know, estimates and just being able to do renovations successfully and profitably. So, you know, listening also to their podcast, one of the biggest challenges that they face is being able to find contractors that they can work with and that they can trust to not, you know, scam them or you know, just kind of waste their time. So those are two things that I really wanted to try and work as a side business, in the sense that, you know, like the software that we talked about. And then part of what I was really thinking about lately is if I go out on my own, if I were to just say quit my job, what I really wanted to do is, as people that buy property and they wanted to upgrade the property, I could be like the guy that runs around. I'll get the bids from developers or other contracts, subcontractors, and I'll be able to manage the work for them. So that's it. Kind of ties. It's two very separate things, but it just kind of ties into what they do on their website.
Okay, so you'd be the general contractor essentially for homeowner renovations or investors, like fixer-upper investors.
More so owner's representative.
Okay.
But I didn't want to dilute from the previous idea of being able to develop a estimator, an app or an interface that I could potentially license to a website kind of like theirs that has a huge community of people that, you know, they buy and sell property, and, you know, they do a lot of renovations, they do a lot of flips, they, you know, they do buy and hold. So that's already a pocket of people that would be interested in paying for something like this.
Yeah, Bigger Pockets is huge, huge real estate investing community. What's been like, have you been involved in their forums at all?
I've been doing a lot of reading. I haven't done any posting because I'm not in the market to buy something new. So I feel like I don't really have much to talk about there. And I bought my house so long ago, I don't really have any current advice.
I like the investor angle, similar to the, you know, the contractors that we were talking about before, is it's a multi-use thing versus the homeowners have a harder time with it because it's a single use, purchase. And a lot of time, hey, you know, if I'm worried about the renovation costs, I'm just going to outsource. I'm going to get some bids from that anyways. Like I'm not necessarily trying to ballpark this stuff on my own.
Right. But I figure if I can appeal to an investor, I'd be able to get it to appeal to somebody that is looking to renovate their first house. I've gone to the extent where I've visited a couple of houses. I've seen, you know, for sale signs, and I visited a couple of open houses, and I've just kind of walked in, you know, what would I need to do to this house? And I've taken notes, and I've tried to really bring it back, and I've gone to the home, you know, to the local Home Depot. I've tried to run a couple of estimates and just see from there, see where I could plug it in and just, you know, create a couple of formulas from, you know, those experiences to see if I can make it something that's palatable as a user interface. But, you know, that's currently where I'm at.
What would be the next step in figuring out what the pain point really is in trying to validate this thing?
It would be going on to the something like the Bigger Pockets community, or talking to people. I hesitate to say going to Home Depot and talking to people, because that's, you know, that you're not really going to get concrete information. People are going to be, you know, looking to do what they were there for. So maybe the approach is to go through like a Bigger Pockets or a similar community.
What would that outreach look like?
I would be afraid of doing something like a forum post, due to the fact that then somebody could just, I feel like, take the idea and run with it.
We're talking about this on a podcast that's going to get 4,000 something downloads. So somebody wants to take the idea and run with it. It's out there.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe that's the right move then. I was going to maybe send out some private messages or something to some of the more active users. And then maybe even reach out to, you know, one of the owners or something to see if they would be interested in something like that. One of the owners of Bigger Pockets in implementing a tool similar to that, because they do have, I think it's called Bigger Pockets Pro or Plus, that it's a paid section that allows the public to use all of the tools that they've developed.
Okay. The way I might phrase it is just asking the question, like, hey, what do you guys use to estimate renovations right now? Are there any tools you use? Are there any apps you use? Are there any, you know, formulas or spreadsheets or you know, how do you accurately estimate, you know, what your fix-it cost is going to be? Because every dollar you mess that up, you mess up your offer price, you mess up your profit. And so it's you know, potentially a pain point. I think you're right on that front, but people have been, you know, making these purchase decisions. They're using something right now. And the trick is to find out what that is, I think. And what's wrong with it? What do you wish it had better? Like, if you could wave your magic wand, what would be happening? Can I just, like, I'm going to take a picture of the outside of the house and it's going to tell me, okay, $48,000 later, and it magically knows everything that needs to be fixed.
Right. There are currently apps out there. One of my best friends, he's in the sign business, right? And he has an app that, you know, you could scale a picture, and, you know, you take a picture of an existing location, scale it, and he'll draw a line from one end to the other. It'll give him all the dimensions and stuff, and then he uses that to be able to provide, you know, his pricing. There's got to be a way that I could take the data that's provided by, you know, measurement and turn it into something like, take a picture of your living room, scale it with something like a door frame or something that's like a seven foot height, and I'll be able to tell, you know, the dimensions of the room just based off of that. And then you input, I don't know, it's something I've been trying to kick around, how to make it the most user-friendly and the easiest to interact with.
Yeah, what you might do is, once you get the answer, hey, what are you guys using for these estimates today? You know, go out to these open houses or something similar, and just put it to use. See for yourself. See where the frustrations are, and be able to talk more intelligently about it. Because it can be tough, I think, to try and build something in this case when you're not the customer.
Right. Well, I've been trying to get myself into the mindset of being the customer. You're right.
And you like this market better than the general contractor market, or like some niche specific construction business?
I do. I just think it has broader appeal. If I can get to the investor, everybody buys a house or wants to buy. It's the American dream. So I figure that if I can get it to a point where it's a tool that not just on the web, where I can maybe potentially at some point in my life ever get approved for the Apple Store, it'd be something that, you know, people could actually use, you know, just going to look at a house that they may be interested in buying. When I was doing some of my driving around looking for neighborhood or looking for houses that were for sale in certain neighborhoods, there were a couple other people doing the same thing. So I have to imagine that there's a market for the general public, you know, saying, okay, I'm in this house, I kind of like it, but, you know, if there were these changes, I'd be A-okay with it.
Yeah, but it's a one-time purchase, or like, you know, people who live in the same house for an average of whatever it is, 12 years or something before they move. Versus like that contractor customer is, you know, out on bids, you know, all day, every day.
You're right. And also he's out there more often than an investor would be.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. So it would be, I'm curious it would have to be a pretty significant price point or hit a huge percentage of the market to get to that, you know, to get that $2,500 a month target and beyond, versus I think the other way, like you can, I mean, just count on, you know, potentially two hands, you know, the number of customers needed to make this thing pay for itself.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my two cents. Like, I don't want to, like, obviously it's your thing. Like, if this is the niche of the market that you're, you know, most interested in, like, I mean, that's totally cool. And there very well may be some white space there.
I almost want to say, why couldn't I do both? But I think the answer right back would be, well, why not just try doing one thing and follow the one thing's philosophy?
I know. Gosh, I have such a hard time with it too. yeah, maybe eventually you can get there. So then it's a matter of who do you think is easiest to target first? And maybe you've got an excuse to strike up some conversations on the investor side first and figure out what the, you know, what they're using today, what the pain points are, and go from there. What would be helpful on that front? Like some sort of idea generation, or, you know, digging for the pain, some sort of exercise or some, like, trying to figure out what the next step would be.
That was part of the reason of me just randomly checking up and popping up in people's houses that they were trying to sell. Just, you know, in my mind's eye, like, what would I want to do, or how, you know, what would make my life easy if I was trying to do a renovation? But it's just a little weird for me in the sense that, you know, if I were to do that, I'm looking at it as, you know, my main job is a general contractor, and then I would also be looking at it as a person looking to invest. So maybe you're right. Maybe I do need to figure out exactly what my niche should be, what would be the more profitable niche. Maybe a couple of my friends are looking to buy houses. That's really where the idea came from.
Okay.
So maybe I, you know, they always have me look at a house because I'm in construction before, you know, they form an opinion. So maybe I could just kind of piggyback with them and ask them, you know, if you were to look to everybody, you know, one of my friends in particular, he has the craziest ideas. You know, he wants to build a deck in the living room and cut the garage in half. So maybe that's the type of thing for him where, you know, if I would be able to tell you within, I guess, $100 or whatever, a price based on these parameters, is this something that you'd be interested in?
Okay. And it's got to be an app. Gosh, I'm like, you got me gun shy. I'm going down the app road again.
Well, no, it doesn't have to be an app. It could be something web-based.
Yeah.
It might be better off being web-based where, you know, you could access it via a mobile website, and it would be catered to you know, the mobile platform via the website.
Yeah. Okay. that sounds a little bit better. But then on the, you know, on the, if the customer is a homeowner investor, you know, why do they pay for it? How do they pay for it? How do they pay you instead of, you know, using some of the free tools? Actually, I was going to say, you know, one easy way to figure out, you know, what features might be important would be to look at, you know, existing estimator apps or existing renovation apps and look at the reviews out there for those.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm sorry, let me write that down. Make sure I got that. That's a very good idea, actually.
But yeah, how do you get paid with this thing? You can get paid as, a bunch of different ways. Like, you know, just a straight up, like you're going to pay me to use the software.
Right.
You could get money on the back end for like lead gen referral for contractors. Links. You could get
that. Yeah, I could get referral links to like Home Depot, Lowe's if you wanted to buy the material.
Yeah, you could do affiliate stuff like that.
It's so far. I feel like I just have nothing for you today. I'm really sorry.
No, you're okay. This is all part of the process.
Yeah, I guess it can't be all sunshine and glitter.
Yeah, no, I've definitely had my share of bad weeks, bad months, developer headaches, like all of this stuff. I've never done an app, but I've had some.
Don't do it.
Equally frustrating and four times more expensive problems with getting developers to fix their bugs and stuff like that. So I can definitely relate to that. But with this next thing, I want to figure out, you know, the lean startup way. Like instead of plunking down $2,500 on development, you know, without customers, how can we do this in a way where we know it's going to be a hit right out of the gate? Maybe not a hit. Maybe we just know that it's, you know, something that's needed.
I just got to get myself, you know, springtime is here, and there's a lot more projects that I see going on. And one of the things that they mentioned in Bigger Pockets is that if you want to find a good contractor, you got to be at Home Depot at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning when they open, because those are the guys that are there to make money for the day. So maybe I just take advantage one day and I'll just, you know, go to Home Depot, my local Home Depot early, and I'll just start, you know, whoever looks like a contractor, you know, just strike up some conversation and see what they got going on. That could be like, maybe I'll probably scare a few people off, but you know, maybe that'll open some doors.
Yeah, that's one way to do it for sure. get them in their natural habitat. I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be one way to do it on the contractor side. The Bigger Pockets forum would be one way to do it on the investor side. And then, yeah, I don't know. Like, I really don't want to touch the homeowner market, but
yeah.
But maybe down the road.
Yeah.
Let's talk goals for the next couple weeks.
Oh, have an app approved, launch of the website. definitely I want to become, well, just the two things we just talked about with the Bigger Pockets, forum. I want to see about, you know, post, you know, just doing a little bit of digging as far as what the pain points are for renovations and you know, that whole area. And then also I need to be able to find a contractor that I can work with that won't tell me to buzz off and like won't be afraid of me getting into their business too far, potentially want me to streamline their business. I just gotta find somebody to work with in that
Now that's a really interesting angle that you bring up. Finding a contractor, finding an existing business, and maybe asking them about their estimate. I swear we talked about this before, like asking them about their estimating process. And, you know, every dollar you underbid, you know, is straight off your bottom line. You know, yeah. What if we could come up with a more accurate way? What would that be worth to you, like over the course of the year?
I kind of want to attach myself, not to one of those guys that are just, you know, guys trying to make a buck, but to somebody that's a little more organized. And how can I make you leaner? How can I make you more efficient? How can I take away the time from really estimate, not taking away the time, but how can I make you an efficient estimator so that the number that you really hit the number that you're supposed to hit, and it encompasses all the potential issues. Maybe I'm being too ambitious.
You know, that's okay. And I know you don't want to be in a position of trading hours for dollars, but would you consider, you know, setting up some sort of, you know, Wellington's contractor consulting service in the meantime, like as a way to gather intelligence for some of this other stuff?
Yeah, I definitely would love to. I've got the only issues I've got is, you know, one, the issue with my foot and being able to get around. And then two, my work is just still taking up a lot of my, you know, I'm starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but like for the next couple of weekends, all the way through the end of May and into the beginning of June, I'm working every weekend. You know, I'm still working, you know, the 5 days of the regular week. So it's at least 6 days a week I'm working. It's just like, where do I find the time? So I'm going to have to figure something out in that sense. Maybe if I could just carve out, you know, I'll work Sundays instead of Saturdays, and Saturdays I'll go. That's really when people really want to do work. They, you know, most people want to take Sundays off. So contractors get a lot of work on Saturdays, especially the small guys.
Okay. Aside from the app approval, which will be an obvious one, and the website launch, which will be an obvious one, what does completion look like in terms of this, you know, doing pain point research and stuff?
Completion. Sorry, I'm really trying to think about.
I mean, is that talking to 10 different people from, you know, all around the country? I don't know what it is, but like, you know, trying to dig down and say, you know, what, figuring out definitively like what people are using today to do this work and how much that costs them and what they dislike about it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I've got before kind of doing all this pain point research, I need to really figure out what the right questions are to ask that won't scare people away. And two, will actually get me some kind of decent concrete information. I need data at this point. I don't need, you know, hearsay and conjecture.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I'm sorry. I really feel like I'm disappointing you. I really apologize.
No, don't apologize. Don't apologize to me. This is all, like we talked about, it's all part of the challenge. And if it were easy, everybody would be doing it, you know? Well, there it is. Pretty frustrating call there with Wellington. You can hear it in both of our voices. And I think it really, the reason I publish it, even though there's not a lot of like, hey, here's what I got done, is to show that there is a real challenge in getting something shipped and in bringing something to market. And especially when you're relying on a third party approval, like Apple in this case. And we talked about, at the very end of the call, we talked about the possibility of doing kind of consulting work as market intelligence to get in bed with the contract, figure out how they're doing their estimation process and see if that could turn into something. Now, Wellington's in a unique position in that he doesn't necessarily need the side hustle to ring the cash register in the very near term. And that's why you can see him investing in app development, web development, and all this stuff, because hey, I've got a good job. I'm not necessarily in any crazy hurry to get out of there, and so that kind of affords him the freedom to invest in these more speculative projects. And so I'm excited for the mastermind going forward. My take on the SaaS business is, you know, you got to go after a business-to-business customer, somebody who's either has a you know, a definitive ROI that they can point to by using this tool, or, you know, a business customer who's used to spending money on software, something where it's not completely foreign to them. And they, you know, it's part of their business. So if you want to follow along with all of the calls up to this point, you can do so at sidehustlenation.com/PC for everything in this public coaching experiment. Like I said, I don't know where it's going to go. I didn't know what I was signing up for, but it's been very eye-opening, very enlightening so far. And hopefully that you're getting some value from these journeys as well. If you do have any feedback for Wellington based on the content, of this conversation, please leave a note in the comments at sidehustlenation.com/109/109. And if you're interested in working directly with me, I am available on a limited basis at sidehustlenation.com/services. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.